Good morning, everyone, and to those who are listening at home, welcome to this, our morning service. Our services this morning will be led by Stuart Benjamin. Jeff will be at the organ, and our reader this morning is Jean Button. And the reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, reading from verses 1 to 12, and if you wish to find that, you will find it on page 177 of the New Testament section of your Bible. Unlike the political climate at the moment, there are no stop press information further than what's already in the weekly news. So I will take this moment of quiet and reflection to light the Christ candle and prepare ourselves for worship.
Good morning, Emmanuel. Jeremiah writes, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. God is near. God is ready to listen. Meet with God and open your heart in prayer. Our worship prepares a place of meeting with God, a place for us to experience God's nearness and grasp God's welcome to join in with the church and our lives. So how do we invite others into prayer before worship? We begin with this, our call to prayer, whether we are at home, in a small group, or at church. Let us pray together. Father God, we come together as your church, and we ask that you still our hearts and calm our minds. Lord God, we gather here today under your care and protection, and we thank you for those who are with us, and we praise you for your loving kindness that never fails us. We ask that you strengthen us with your peace and fill us with the Holy Spirit as we come together to praise and worship you. Lord Jesus, let our worship be filled with praise as we honour you, because you are worthy of all honour and praise. May we build each other up and encourage each other as we give you all the glory. Amen. Amen. The service this morning is going to be around the theme of faith. It's 50 years since the United Reformed Church started, and the three pillars which you know because you've probably been to the services over the last couple of weeks, are faith, hope, and love. So I thought I would look at faith. 50 years of United Reformed Faith. It's the same age as me, so double celebration this year, which is excellent. Before that, though, a little bit about turning swords and spears into plowshares. We'll light the peace candle in a moment. But before that, as we're talking about plowshares and tools, the World Concerns Committee have asked me to remind you about the work for Tools for Self-Reliance, our autumn harvest appeal in honour of Bernard Phillips. So it's a training program for people in Ghana, and we're trying to raise as much money as we can to supply tools there. Next Sunday, I believe, Liz, is the last Sunday for bringing in your donations to that cause. Please give. It's very worthwhile. I'll now light the peace candle. We talked about turning swords and spears into plowshares, and we live in a world which is conflicted by many conflicts the world over, not just in the Ukraine, but many other areas, lots of areas where there is injustice, lack of democracy, where there are riots. So we also think of Iran at this time. But we ask more than anything else for God to look upon this world, replace hate with peace, war with kindness and love. We're going to sing together. All our hymns are from Rejoice and Sing, which I don't have. I'm going to nip out and get it. I'm sure you can start, and I'll join in. I'll catch up with you, if that's okay. Rejoice and Sing, 377, our first hymn is, "This is the day that the Lord has made."
This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day.
This is the day
sun's out and we've blown out the cobwebs now, so all is right with the world for 5 minutes. There'll be another rain cloud along after that. Let us approach God and let us confess the things where we have been not perhaps the best of our abilities or the best people that we can be, and think about what God says to us. Let us pray. Loving God, source of all truth, we come to worship, we come to learn, and we come to reflect. Loving God, love embodied in radical action, you lifted up the lowly, showed concern to the marginalized, and dignified the shamed. We come to be changed so that we may become agents of change. Loving God, you are faithful and we are unfaithful. You expose the truth, yet we prepare to turn away from it. You embody dignity and worth, yet we seem to prefer sins and shame. You free and heal the victims, yet we prefer to blame them. You invite us to be disturbed, yet we prefer the comfort of ignorance. We are sorry. Give us the grace to turn our lives around and the time to bring about real change. Here is the good news. God, like a father, runs to welcome home the estranged. God, like a mother, gathers us into a tender, loving embrace. And like a rock, God is trustworthy and secure. Know that God forgives us. Have the strength to forgive yourselves. Open your word to us, loving God, as we listen to scripture and reflection, proclamation and challenge, words ancient and modern. That today in our hearing and thinking, our reflecting and resolving, we may see how to change our world. Amen. The disciples and Jesus gathered together and they asked him, "How do we pray?" And so let us join together in the prayer that he taught them. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Let's join together again in song. Hymn 497 from Rejoice and Sing. Give to me, Lord, a thankful heart.
Thank you.
continue our service with our offering, following which we'll say the grace together. The money on these plates are symbols of our ordinary mortal world. Help us to use these things to do good for you and your community here in Swindon, but also the things we cannot see, our spirituality, our faith, our loving and our kindness. Help us to use those too to improve your world and the society we see around us. We pray this in your name. Amen. Let us join together to say the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Following our theme of faith for this morning, the anthem will now lead us in a celebration of faith. Lord, give me faith is the name of the anthem, and the choir will now sing it to us.
Thank you. reading today, so I think I'll get the box. That's better. The reading today is from the second book of Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 12, and it's on page 177 of the New Testament. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jean. As we just heard, we carry the light of Jesus with us. That light, you may argue, is faith. And it's a struggle. Obviously, it was a struggle for the Corinthians, which is why Paul wrote to them. But as George Michael said, you've got to have faith. Zena and Lindsay know what I'm talking about, and Liz. We're all of that generation. Although I think he was singing about a girl. He wasn't actually singing about faith as such. And I wanted to offer you three reflections on faith this morning. And I like the word reflection. We use it a lot now for our services. And it suggests to me that we kind of think around a subject rather than define an answer, which to me is what the word sermon seems to suggest. Sermon suggests answers and being told what they are. Whereas reflection, we can approach with an open mind, can't we? And I wanted to reflect on faith, not just because it's 50 years of the URC, but also, as we're moving now into late autumn, we have the late autumn and early winter church season, which, as we know, brings first All Saints' Day before moving towards Remembrance, which will be especially poignant this year, I think, without the Queen. And she had a lot to do with faith, didn't she? She said her faith drove what she did, which amazes me every time I think about it. So we have Remembrance, then we go into Advent, and then we go into Christmas, and it gets very busy. And at Christmas, we are all prompted to celebrate our faith through the arrival of Jesus, of God becoming flesh and blood in this world. And I wanted to offer these three reflections on faith before we get too distracted by churchy business. We all know what churchy business is, don't we? That big heading there. Does church make a faith, I wonder? Because we're here, does that mean that we are faithful? Possibly. Possibly not. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, as all his letters are a form of written support to new churches, relatively speaking, which still grappled with the question of what it was to be a Christian and to have faith. Don't forget, this was a time, a place, and a world which was not kindly disposed to Christians. They were persecuted at that time. And since the days Paul's postman delivered his mail, Christianity has come a long way. For us in the developed and transitional world, nations all over the globe, Christianity became one of the dominant religions. It moved from persecution to a position of power. We also have to acknowledge that at some points it also became the persecutor. What's Christianity and faith like nowadays? Well, I'd suggest for a lot of people out there in the wider world that Christianity has moved from a position of power to almost an irrelevance. Where does that leave faith? Now, I would argue that faith remains as important and alive today for us as it was in Paul's time. Maybe it's the institutions where we practice faith that are beginning to fade. But if you look around you, if you have a mind to see these things, then many institutions in our society, not just church ones, have similar issues. We've moved over the decades to a more individualistic society and less a community-based one. It comes with its advantages, but we're poorer perhaps for not having strong communities. Faith, I would argue, lives in us. Whether or not we attach ourselves to any particular religion, faith can be a constant struggle. Look at history. Look at the schisms, conflicts, wars of faith that we've seen throughout the historical times. The painful struggle to determine what faith is, which faith is the best, who practices that faith better than the other person. It's caused all kinds of injurious harm. But also, I think, those struggles that were writ large in history are also the small struggles which are going on in ourselves, in our own minds, in our own psyche. Faith is something perhaps that we struggle with. So that's why I want to offer three reflections on faith. Two come from surprising places. One is least surprising because it's my own reflection on faith. Here's what I think, and it's just what I think. You don't have to think the same. I've followed a form of Christian faith all my life. My mother took me to Bible playgroups in the summer when I was very young. The first parable I remember is that of the crooked woman who was told she could stand up straight, which she did, and she went off and got on with her life thanks to Jesus' intervention. Then, from about 7 years onwards, I went to a local Sunday school, so we'd have church parade with cubs, and then Sunday school, extra religion in the afternoon. And that's kind of how I grew up, St. Peter's Church in Cocket, up the road from where we live, and there's at least three or four generations of my family buried there. But there have been times when I've been really far from God. I've kind of even doubted God's existence and God's place in the world and in my heart. But also there have been times when I've been very close to God and didn't question those things at all. And it took me a long time, not 50 years, perhaps about 40, but you know, the church is established for a long time and your struggle with faith can often last a lifetime. It took me a long, long time to realize that faith raised more questions than it answers. I believe in God, I really do. And a God which I can't describe to you here today. God may be a he or may not be a he. God may be a she or not be a she. I can't personify God in any way. I can't describe to you what God looks like. I also struggle to reconcile the world I see around me with any kind of divine benevolence. A lot of awful things go on in this world, and you think, well, where is God? But God's in here, perhaps. Because I do believe. I believe in God's love. I believe in God's grace and forgiveness. I often find it hard to put that love, grace, and forgiveness into practice. And all these things you can say are quite contradictory, and it is contradictory. These are the struggles that go on in my head. And yet I feel stronger for struggling with faith. It doesn't make me a better person or a more holy person. It just makes me a person. A person with a particular commitment to my fellow human beings. I don't have answers. I think my faith allows me to be okay with that. Second reflection on faith comes from the Australian singer-songwriter Nick Cave. Nick Cave might not be known to all of you, but have any of you watched the series Peaky Blinders? Some of you have. If you have, you'll know his music, because his song, Red Right Hand, a song of redemption actually, is the theme tune. When not making music or writing books or composing soundtracks, Nick Cave answers questions from his fans on an internet page called The Red Hand Files. And if you go and look at The Red Hand Files, there are questions about his faith asked by his fans. So I'm going to read you some of those questions. I'm going to read you the answer which he writes. It's always in the form of a letter. So Ali from London asks, as an atheist, I find other people's belief in a God both incomprehensible and fascinating. Is there any way you can explain your faith? Maggie in London asks him, do you believe in God? I mean personal, not through your songs. Rahau in Rio, Brazil asks, does God exist? Thanks, Rahau. And Peter in Denver, Colorado, USA says, can it be you've given up the quest for God? Nick Cave writes, dear Ali, Maggie, Yahao, and Peter, and the many people who have asked similar God-related questions, I've been circulating around the idea of God for decades. It's been a slow creep around the periphery of His Majesty, pen in hand, trying to write God alive. Sometimes I think I've almost succeeded. The more I become willing to open my mind to the unknown, my imagination to the impossible, and my heart to the notion of the divine, the more God becomes apparent. I think we get what we are willing to believe, and that our experience of the world extends exactly to the limits of our interest and credence. I am interested in the idea of possibility and uncertainty. Possibility, by its very nature, extends beyond provable facts, and uncertainty propels us forward. I try to meet the world with an open and curious mind, insisting on nothing other than the freedom to look beyond what we think we know. Does God exist? I don't have evidence either way, but I'm not sure that is the right question. For me, the question is, what does it mean to believe? The thing is, against all my better judgment, I find it impossible not to believe, or at the very least, not to be engaged in the inquiry of such a thing, which is the same thing. My life is dominated by the notion of God, whether it is His presence or His absence. I'm a believer in both God's presence and absence. I'm a believer in the inquiry itself, more so than the result of that inquiry. As an extension of this belief, my songs are questions, rarely answers. In the end, and with all respect, I haven't the stomach for atheism and the insistence on what we know. It feels like a dead end to me, unhelpful and bad for the business of writing. I share many of the problems that atheists have towards religion, the dogma, the extremism, the hypocrisy, the concept of the revelation with its many attendant horrors. I'm just at variance with the often self-satisfied certainty that accompanies the idea that God does not exist. It's simply not in my nature. I have, for better or for worse, a predisposition towards perverse and contradictory thinking. Perhaps this is something of the curse. But the idea of uncertainty, of not knowing, is the creative engine for everything I do. I may well be living in a delusion. I don't know, but it's a serviceable one that greatly improves my life, both creatively and otherwise. So, do I believe in God? Will I act like I do, for my own greater good? Does God exist? Maybe. I don't know. Right now, God is a work in progress. Yours truly, Nick Cave. The third and final reflection also comes from the world of music. The US jazz saxophonist John Coltrane recorded the album A Love Supreme in December of 1964 and released it the following year. He presented it as a spiritual declaration that his musical devotion was now intertwined with that of his faith in God. And while A Love Supreme is recognized as a musical masterpiece, it had enormous personal significance for Coltrane. In the spring of 1957, his dependence on heroin and alcohol lost him one of the best jobs in jazz. He was playing saxophone and touring with Miles Davis's band when he became unreliable and strung out, alternately catatonic and brilliant. Coltrane's behavior and his playing became increasingly erratic, and Miles Davis fired him after a live show that April. Soon after, John Coltrane resolved to clean up his act. He would later write, in the 1964 liner notes to A Love Supreme, the following declaration. Dear listener, all praise be to God, whom all praise is due. Let us pursue him in the righteous path. Yes, it is true, seek and ye shall find. Only through him can we know the most wondrous bequeathal. During the year 1957, I experienced, by grace of God, a spiritual awakening, which was to lead me to a richer, fuller, more productive life. At that time, in gratitude, I humbly asked to be given the means and privilege to make others happy through music. I feel this has been granted through his grace. All praise to God. As time and events moved on, a period of irresolution did prevail. I entered into a phase which was contradictory to the pledge and away from the esteemed path. But thankfully, now and again, through the unerring and merciful hand of God, I do perceive and have been duly re-informed of his omnipotence and our need for and dependence on him. At this time, I would like to tell you that no matter what, it is with God. He is gracious and he is merciful. His way is in love, through which we all are. It is truly a love supreme. This album is a humble offering to him, an attempt to say thank you, God, through our work. Even as we do in our hearts and with our tongues, may he strengthen all men in every good endeavor. May we never forget that the sunshine of our lives, through the storm and after the rain, is with God, in all ways and forever. All praise to God. With love to all, I thank you. John Coltrane. Finally, in summary, I'd like to return to the words of Paul's letter. Paul writes, "By an open statement of truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God." Paul's bottom line about ministry is this: what you see is what you get. He and his friends understand their purpose, given by God to carry that gospel of faith out into the world. And we do too, no matter what we think, or in spite of our huge struggles that we might have with it. Nick Cave, John Coltrane, St. Paul and his followers, they and we refuse to give up when things get difficult. And we refuse to cut corners with our faith, to make our faith easier, even when that struggle is going on within ourselves. Amen. Rejoice and Sing, we turn to again now. Number 586. all my faith in God is founded. We join in together our prayers of intercession, asking God to intervene in this world. Let us pray together. Eternal God, whose love is made known in the richness of relationship, we bring to you our prayers, prayers of concern for the world, for ourselves and for one another. We bring to you those fearing the onset of winter. We cry out, no one should have to choose between heat and food. We pray for an economy that is fairer to all, one which leaves nobody behind. We pray for leaders who value service rather than just seeking to serve themselves. We pray for democracy and fairness in this country and everywhere across the world. We pray that peace will take the place of war in our world. We pray that kindness replaces all forms of cruelty. We pray for the people of the Ukraine. We pray for the protesters in Iran. We pray for all of those who are persecuted because of their nationality, their faith, ethnicity, gender, sexuality, physical or mental ability. We pray for refugees of all kinds, that they may find homes and a welcome on our shores and in our lives. We remember our earth, so damaged by human action, praying that we might wake up to our short-sightedness. We pray for countries harmed by drought or by flood, by freeze or by fire. We pray that no human on earth faces hunger or poverty, that we work to eradicate hunger and poverty from the lives of others. We pray for bodies, minds, and spirits that are ill, for peace, hope, and healing, and where needed, acceptance. We pray for our communities and our neighbors. We pray for our families and our loved ones, those we see often, those we see less often, and those from whom we may be estranged. We pray for our friends, and we pray for the strangers on the street. We pray for those burdens people carry but which we cannot see. We pray for the church, human, frail, and imperfect, yet so full of promise and potential. May we never forget our calling. We offer all these prayers in the name of God the Creator, in the name of Jesus the Servant, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our final hymn this morning, again, Rejoice and Sing, number 499. Have faith in God, my heart, trust and be unafraid. Loving God, we thank you for everything that was, for everything that is, for everything that will be. In your name, in the name of Jesus, and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, let us go forth into the world, refreshed, renewed, to share our faith. Amen.